From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. It's Gay Pride Month, and we're bringing you a piece about someone who spent years fighting and performing for gay rights. From producer Lisa Napoli.
Lynn Lavner plays the piano every night before she goes to sleep at her home in Boynton Beach. It takes her back to the late 70s and 1980s when she was a pioneering performer in gay clubs and lesbian festivals all around the world.
Please welcome America's most politically incorrect entertainer, Lynn Lavner.
Why is there a soupçon of suspicion in my heart in matters of the current ruling class? The FBI, the CIA, the NRA, the FDA, if it's got three letters, bud, I watch my ass.
My dad bought the piano when I was six, I think. You could watch Million Dollar Movie. They played the same movie at 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And if they played Fred and Ginger, hey, just have to hear it a few times, sit down, play it. And it wasn't very long before I realized you could make up your own songs. Ha, ha, ha. He died when I was eight. I always said my dad left me a marvelous inheritance of bad teeth, bad eyes, and an uncanny ability to play the piano.
After earning a degree from Brooklyn College, she went on to work as a teacher in the New York City public schools. By night, she was a performer at gay and lesbian clubs all around Manhattan, working round the clock.
9 to 3 and 9 to 3 and 9 to 3. I didn't tell the school that I was moonlighting as a pianist. I didn't tell the bars that I was moonlighting as a teacher, or sunlighting, I guess. It would diminish my being taken seriously in either profession.
This is in the late 70s, early 80s. What was the climate then for gay and lesbian people?
There wasn't any climate. You went to bars or you didn't socialize. AIDS was the first awakening that there could be a way to serve and there could be a way to pull us together politically. And the other one was the church, was the MCCs. Metropolitan Community Church, founded by Troy Perry, who was a gay man in rural Florida. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. He wanted to be a Christian, and he wanted to be a gay man. And so he started to have services or Bible study, I don't know, in his living room.
He began to invite Lavner to perform.
I had the time of my life because they just assumed that a Jew would have either no interest or a negative attitude toward Christians. I remember being asked, would I like it if they took down the cross over the piano? And I said, look, when I come to your house for dinner, I don't ask you to redecorate.
There are six admonitions in the Bible concerning homosexual activity. And our enemies are always throwing them up to us, usually in a vicious way and very much out of context. What they don't want us to remember is that there are 362 admonitions in the Bible concerning heterosexual activity. I don't mean to imply by this that God doesn't love straight people. Only that they seem to require a great deal more supervision.
The spirit of inclusiveness and the desire for acceptance in the mainstream was what drove Lavner and the entire movement then.
People got gay bashed. People got the kicked out of them on the way home. You had to be either a dreamer or a lunatic to see a time in the future when the issues that were civil rights issues in the black community would apply in any way. We played Jackson, Mississippi, which had the only AIDS hospice between Atlanta and Houston. And they were so conflicted because the AIDS hospice was in a home that had been owned by a Confederate general. So they didn't know whether to put up a plaque or burn it down.
The first time that I realized that what I do for a living is dangerous was when I hosted the New York City Pride Rally, which was outdoors on a stage in Greenwich Village. A gay man took exception to something that a political speaker was saying, and he threw a very large and very overripe tomato, which missed the politician and splattered mostly all over me. And there are many thoughts that go through your mind at a moment like that on the accidental and random nature of violence. Of course, what I thought really, I suppose, was, why don't they just give it to the lesbians to throw so that it hits what it's supposed to? And still, I was very flattered to be asked to MC and perform at the first statewide march for lesbian and gay rights in the history of the state of South Carolina. And I remember talking to the woman on the phone who was engaging me for that gig. She said, well, you know, we do get heavy counter demonstrations when we do anything that's progressive or liberal. I said, oh, you mean religious right, fundamentalist, shame, shame, shame. Well, I'm used to that kind. She said, oh, no, that's nothing. She said, well, we always expect a sizable turnout by the Ku Klux Klan. I can tell you that it's a very impressive feeling to spend 4 hours on an outdoor stage singing, laughing, dancing, popping around and smiling, all the while watching the buildings across the street for sniper fire. But they drew 2,000 people and respectful coverage for 2 days in the mainstream paper and interviews on the 6 and 10 o'clock news where we got to talk about our issues. And so it was with a great deal of confidence that I accepted the invitation of Salt Lake City come and perform at their event. And things went very well until we were paid an unexpected visit by the American Nazi Party. Skinheads in uniform. And I can tell you that for me especially, to see the swastika flag in life and full color instead of on an old newsreel was absolutely chilling.
The truth is they don't hate us because of anything except that we're gay. And if you're not going to change that, you may as well enjoy it.
Left-handed leather lesbian. I'm amazed that I'm a lesbian this long. Am I out yet?
If I had been put here for a reason, which of course I don't think, this was probably the reason.
Lynn Lavner turned 73 today. This piece was produced by Lisa Napoli for her podcast, Gracefully. She calls it Your Field Guide to Growing Old. This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.